Good morning. You know, I really regret starting Sunday's worship time together this way on such a beautiful Sunday, but we've done such a poor job starting worship. Last Sunday, I remember Gabrielle mentioning we would be starting with Stump the Accompanist, and she's answered every hymn we've thrown at her, so I appreciate Gabrielle providing this hymn sing and this opportunity to start worship well. To start worship well, praising our God and singing our favorite hymns. Well, good morning and happy Father's Day to all of our fathers, to all who have loved as fathers. Glad that you are with us this morning. My name is Jeremy Africa, and I serve as the lead pastor here at Midland First United Methodist Church, and whether you are in the sanctuary this morning or you're joining us on the church's live stream today, we are glad to have this opportunity to worship together, and I welcome you. As we begin our worship, I do want to highlight a few announcements. Good reminder that we do have a weekly newsletter, an e-blast that goes out every Friday. If you aren't receiving those, encourage you to contact the church office. We'd be happy to add you to that list. We use this as an important means of communication. But I do want to highlight a few announcements for you this morning. Once again, I'm going to point you to your bulletins. You'll see an insert where we highlight some of all of our incoming pastors. On one side, you will see our part-time Associate Pastors of Member Care, Reverends Lisa and Mike Kelly. The insert includes background information on the Kellys, as well as a reminder that their appointment, their time with us, begins on August 1st. I also sent out a letter to the congregation informing them, it's not in the insert, but you'll note that Pastor Lisa will be filling 75% of this part-time appointment, with Pastor Mike filling the remaining 25% while serving as a quarter-time lead pastor at Gordonville United Methodist Church. If you lost track of all the numbers, they are going to serve as a half-time appointment together here, overseeing our member care area. If you flip that insert, you'll find a welcome to the Kilpatricks. Reverend Brian Kilpatrick is coming as our full-time associate pastor of discipleship. He will be introduced to the congregation and his family on July 5. We're going to give them the opportunity to worship together as a family. And then the next Sunday will be Pastor Brian's first Sunday preaching here. And then immediately after worship service, there will be a welcome reception for the Kilpatrick family hosted by our Strategic Leadership Council and also the worship team, so invite you to put those dates on your calendar. Now, if you turn to the back of your bulletin, you will find an announcement regarding our upcoming Strategic Leadership Council Town Hall. This is an opportunity for us to communicate and to connect as a church. This is coming up Sunday, June 28th, from 11:15 to 12:15. It'll be in the chapel. Our agenda for this gathering includes a report from our lay members of annual conference who attended the Michigan Annual Conference at the end of May. You'll also receive an update from our facilities team regarding the replacement of boilers taking place here at the church. It's always nice to talk about the replacement of boilers in the summer. So we're going to have an update from our facilities team. And then I, too, will provide a presentation on the roles that each of the associate pastors will be serving here at the church. It gives us an opportunity to share conversation. Each of these will be accompanied by a time of question and answer. So again, invite you and encourage you to attend these town halls. One final note regarding our worship service today. For all the men in the congregation, our children will have a gift for you as you exit the sanctuary or exit the church this morning. Hope that all men will receive this as a gift of gratitude for your presence among us. With all that, I'm going to point you to the newsletter to keep up with everything that else that's happening here at the church.
Good morning. Would you please remain standing for the call to worship? Good morning. We will join in the call to worship, which you can find printed in your bulletin or on the screen. Incline your ear, O Lord, and answer me, for I am poor and needy.
Preserve my life, for I am devoted
to you. Save your servant, trust in you. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for to you do I cry all day long. For you, O Lord, are good and forgiving, abounding in steadfast love to all who call on you. Give ear, O Lord, to my prayer. Listen to my cry of supplication.
In the day of my trouble, I call on you, for you will
answer me.
There is none like you among the gods, O Lord, nor are there any
worse than yours. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
I invite you to remain standing for our opening hymn as you are able. We'll be singing, Lord, You Give the Great Commission, found on page 584 of the hymnal or on the screen in front of you. We are singing verses 1, 2, and 4 this morning. Thanks, Jesus.
Thank you. children come forward, please? How's everyone doing this morning? All right, so this morning we are going to have Sunday school. Who's ready for Sunday school? All right. We're having a buzzing summer, aren't we? Who's had an opportunity to do a tie-dye shirt? How'd they turn out okay? We're going to have to get like a group shot, I think. All right, our verse for today is, "Yet, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, you are the potter. We will all work. We're all works of your hand." That's from Isaiah 64:8. Owen, let's get up here. Thank you. All right, you are going to have a chance for the microphone in just a minute. Okay, so what is today? Today is, in May we had Mother's Day.
Father's Day.
We're going to take Uncle John and Daddy to the Loons game.
You're going to a Loons game for Father's Day? That's like one of the best things to celebrate. I love it. What a great idea. Adeline.
I'm going to get Daddy my card.
You're going to give him, Dad's love cards. So do Mom's, let me tell you. Okay, so for today, we are studying about Father's Day from Matthew 6:7-15. I just want to extend, if anybody is available, the next two second Saturdays in July or August, we are having our Blessed Summers BA Blessing Service Saturdays, that will be from 9 to 11 on August, on July the 11th and August the 8th. We are delighted to have anybody join us and take in donations as well as prayers. On one more note, I am reviving our child care ministry, so if anybody is interested in joining that, we have some events coming up with our wellness in July and coming up in November and January, and we need somebody to if they feel the calling to help us out with child care, we'd really appreciate it. So if you could contact me and let me know, I'd really appreciate it. All right, now for Father's Day, we have Beatitudes for Father's Day. So I have a microphone here, and who's going to start us off?
Blessed are the fathers who listen, for they shall understand the hidden language of their children's hearts.
Blessed are the fathers who are poor in spirit, for they know they do not have all the answers, but they lean on God to guide their family.
Blessed are the fathers who are meek, for they led with a humble servant's heart rather than an iron fist.
Blessed are the fathers who hunger and thirst for patience, for they shall endure the long nights, the teenage years, and the tantrums with grace.
Blessed are the fathers who make peace, for they bring a calm presence to the storms of family life.
Blessed are the fathers who protect and provide for their sacrifice, create a safe harbor for their children can grow and thrive.
Good job. Thank you, guys. I really appreciate your assistance today. All right, let us pray, please. We thank you for your gifts of fathers, for their strengths, their guidance, and the love they pour into our families. Bless them with the wisdom to lead with kindness, patience to nurture with understanding, and courage to stand firm in truth and faith. Amen. Let's go to Sunday school.
Leave it all behind. Leave it all behind. Leave it all behind. Leave it all behind. I have what you need, but you keep on searching. I've done all the work, but you keep on working. When you're running on empty and you can't find the remedy, just come to the well. You can spend your whole life chasing what's missing, but that empty inside, it just ain't gonna listen. When nothing can satisfy and the world leaves you high and dry, just come to the well. And all who thirst will thirst no more, and all who search will find what their souls long for. The world will try, but it can never fail, so leave it all. Bring me your heart, no matter how broken. Just come as you are, when your last prayer is spoken. Just rest in my arms a while, you'll feel the change, my child, when you come to the well. And all who thirst will thirst no more, and all who search will find what their souls long for. The world will try, but it can never fail, so leave it all. Try, but it can never fail, so leave it all behind and come to the well. And now that you're full of love beyond measure, your joy's gonna flow like a stream in the desert. Soon all the world will see that living water is found in me, 'cause you've come to the well. Leave it all behind, leave it all behind, leave it all behind to the well.
The Holy Spirit is the one leading us in worship. So what was the last hymn we sang during the hymn sing? Something else. I remembered something else. Here I am, Lord. And the hymn talks about us hearing God. And then we, through the blessing of the Holy Spirit, heard our children lead us in worship. And we heard from them who are blessed as fathers, or those who love like fathers. I found it especially encouraging that one about blessed are the fathers who survive teenage years. As a father of a tweener, I'm getting ready. And then Pat sings the offertory, and as I hear it, it shifts our focus once again about hearing God listen to us. So as we enter this time of the offering, offering our offerings and our tithes to God and to support the mission of the church, if you're a guest among us, I invite you to sit back and reflect. To our members and our friends, we invite you to share your offering and tithes this morning. But I invite you to reflect, how have you heard from God this week, this month? It might be through an abiding presence, healing presence. Maybe you went to a Loons game on a Friday night and they got blown out, but you love the time sitting with family and friends. Maybe you went for a walk through the neighborhood with your dog or a friend or a spouse. And in that time, you heard God listening to you. May we offer our God our praise through our time in worship. May the ushers please come forward. Thank you.
receiving, becoming God's love. Imagine the people of God. Imagine the people of God. Imagine the people of God.
Lord, we thank you for opening up our imagination to being your people who serve, being your people who love you, being your people who hear from you and who are heard. We ask that you bless all that we give in our offering plates and through our lives in the coming week, that others might hear your voice, hear you listening to them in their lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated.
The scripture reading this morning is from the book of Genesis, chapter 21, verses 8 through 21, and I am reading from the New Living Translation. When Isaac grew up and was about to be weaned, Abraham prepared a huge feast to celebrate the occasion. But Sarah saw Ishmael, the son of Abraham, and her Egyptian servant Hagar making fun of her son Isaac. So she turned to Abraham and demanded, Get rid of that slave woman and her son. He is not going to share the inheritance with my son Isaac. I won't have it. This upset Abraham very much because Ishmael was his son. But God told Abraham, "Do not be upset over the boy and your servant. Do whatever Sarah tells you, for Isaac is the son through whom your descendants will be counted. But I will also make a nation of the descendants of Hagar's son, because he is your son too." So Abraham got up early the next morning, prepared food and a container of water, strapped them on Hagar's shoulders. Then he sent her away with their son, and she wandered aimlessly in the wilderness of Beersheba. When the water was gone, she put the boy in the shade of a bush. Then she went and sat down by herself about 100 yards away. Excuse me. "I don't want to watch the boy die," she said, as she burst into tears. But God heard the boy crying, and the angel of the Lord called to Hagar from heaven. "Hagar, what's wrong? Do not be afraid. God has heard the boy crying as he lies there. Go to him and comfort him, for I will make a great nation from his descendants." Then God opened Hagar's eyes, and she saw a well full of water. She quickly filled the water container and gave the boy a drink. And God was with the boy as he grew in the wilderness. He became a skillful archer, and he settled in the wilderness of Paran. His mother arranged for him to marry a woman from the land of Egypt. The word of God for the people of God.
Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I'm going to ask for your patience as I fight through either a seasonal cold or allergies. So, I'm not sure when it started. I simply know that I'm that guy. I'm that guy. I'm that guy in the neighborhood who wears ear protection 90% of the time when operating some sort of equipment. That's me. I'm that guy. Be it a gas-powered mower, a battery-operated leaf blower, even occasionally an electric shop vac, I'm that guy. I'm that guy in the neighborhood wearing ear protection. And yes, I'm a little bit subconscious, but I'm that guy. Perhaps this is with good reason. According to Audible.com, an article on their site, yes, Audible, the hearing healthcare company, for younger generations, lifestyle and technology are playing a larger role in the causes of early hearing loss. According to Dr. Kent Collins, the author of this article, for Generation X, all right, for those of us who today are 46 to 61, 5% of adults between the ages of 45 to 54 suffer from disabling hearing loss, jumping to 10% among those who are 54 to 64. The cause of this? Certain health comorbidities, so conditions that are intertwined with hearing loss, such as cardiovascular, diabetes, and hypertension, all of which affect blood flow and nerve function, which over time, can contribute to hearing loss. Also, another cause bear in mind is Generation X is the first generation that adopted personal listening devices. Who remembers the Walkman? Who remembers Sony's Walkman, the yellow one with the colored buttons? Had one of those. Who knew it that frequent exposure to loud sounds through these devices can cause hearing loss? Unfortunately, millennials and Generation Z are not immune to any of this, if you thought you were. Millennials today, while at the peak of their professional and social lives, are living in environments significantly louder than previous generations. So you might think of our busier cities, our growing noise pollution, or socializing in noisy environments, such as concerts, restaurants, bars, or the aforementioned ballpark. If you're going to the Loons game, I hope you're going to enjoy it. And Generation Z are 14 to 29-year-olds. They are the first generation among us entirely immersed in digital technology. Did you know that by the age of 18, approximately 1 in 8 adolescents are showing signs of hearing loss? So here's my fear. Here's my fear with all of this. I wonder if, because of how often we project our human characteristics upon God, our human characteristics upon the divine, instead of projecting God's characteristics upon us who are created in God's image, I begin to wonder if we doubt whether God hears us. I'm wondering if we're beginning to doubt if God hears us. Are we like the 51% of respondents in a 2017 survey of over 2,000 citizens in the United Kingdom who agree that God doesn't hear our prayers? Perhaps Hagar had her doubts, and some would even say for good reason. We cross Hagar in Genesis chapter 21, which Judy just read to us, verses 8 through 21. And to appreciate her story, to appreciate her plight, we need to go back a few chapters to Genesis chapter 15. Because in Genesis chapter 15, God promises Abram, who would later be called Abraham, God promises Abram two things. Number one, I'm going to give you many descendants. There'll be as many as the stars in the sky. And number two, I'm going to give you a promised land from Egypt's river to the great Euphrates. So Abraham is promised people, descendants, and a land. However, as often as is the case, when we as humans look to shape God's plans and promises by our own hands, things go awry. Doubting God's faithfulness and unable to have children after a decade, Sarai, Abraham's wife, or Abram's wife, whom God will later call Sarah, Sarai suggests an alternative. So in Genesis 16, Sarai gives Abram her servant Hagar. Remember hearing her name? Sarai gives her servant Hagar as a wife to Abram to bear a child and to hopefully for the purpose of fulfilling God's promises in their lives. And in time, Hagar gives birth to Abraham's son Ishmael. Despite all this, God's covenant, God's promises are not permanently derailed. For long after their childbearing years, when Abraham was 100 years old, yes, wow, and when Sarah was 90, I was self-conscious when I was in my 40s when Andrew was born. But while Abraham's 100, Sarah's 90, Sarah gave birth to their son Isaac. Which, alas, brings us back to Genesis chapter 21. Genesis chapter 21, where Ishmael, Hagar's son with Abraham, catches Sarah's eye, perhaps catches even her ear, as he laughs at a banquet thrown in honor of Isaac, her son. Angered now by this, Sarah instructs Abraham to send her servant Hagar and to send Abraham's son Ishmael away. And Abraham relents, sending Hagar and Ishmael into the wilderness with nothing more than bread and a skin of water or a flask of water that is strapped to Hagar's shoulder. It's not long before the 14-year-old child and his mother give in to the unrelenting elements of the wilderness. All out of water, Hagar lays Ishmael under a bush and walks a bow shot away, unwilling or perhaps unable to bear the inevitable, the passing of her son. With Ishmael off in the distance, Hagar lifts up her voice and weeps. Hagar lifts up her voice and weeps. But does God hear? Does God hear her voice? Does God hear her tears? Verse 17, but God heard. God heard the boy crying, and the angel of God called to Hagar from heaven. Hagar, what's wrong? Don't be afraid. God has heard the boy crying as he lies there. go to him and comfort him. Yes, God heard. Presumably, God heard Hagar. Without a doubt, God heard Ishmael. But does God still hear us today? And if God still hears us today, it stands to reason that this is a reminder that we are part of something bigger, bigger than ourselves. God hearing us today means this and much more. Recently, my family sat down for a family movie night, and we watched the Pixar film Hoppers. Any families watched that movie yet, Hoppers? You saw it too, Dustin? All right. Great movie. See, exhausting all nine of the Star Wars movies after several years on that epic journey and needing a break from the Transformer movies that Andrew has discovered, Cara and I, we pulled the parent card on this family movie night and we said, we're going to sit down and watch this film, The Hoppers. The film's main character is Mabel, a teenage college student and animal lover. And through scientific advances, Mabel transports, moves her consciousness into this robotic beaver. And in doing so, she embarks on an adventure to save the Everglades, a place of great meaning to Mabel and her grandmother, Tanaka. Okay? And in this movie, Tanaka, the grandmother, delivers a memorable line in this movie. Perhaps if you saw this movie, you might remember sitting by the Everglades with her granddaughter, Mabel. Tanaka says, "It's hard to feel mad when you feel like you're a part of something big." Okay? It's hard to feel mad when you feel like you're a part of something big. And so perhaps if God still hears us today in a world that is so often so full of noise and much too often so very mad, well then perhaps God hearing us today is a reminder that we are a part of something big. If God, the creator of the universe, hears us, perhaps it's a reminder that we are part of something big. Part of a community, part of a world, part of a covenant, part of a promise to be God's people, something much bigger than ourselves. God hearing us today would mean this and much more. So I'm going to ask a series of questions now. I'm going to ask us to raise our hands if we would affirm this. And this is one of those times where I'm not really interested in you taking a peek at your neighbor, okay? Don't be looking right next to you, all right? But just want to give us a sense of here in the sanctuary and those on the live stream, if maybe we can cut to a larger shot, what it looks like, whether or not we're hearing God today, or whether or not God hears us, really. So by show of hands, who thinks God still hears us today? Okay. Looking back at the last week, who knows that God has heard them? Just the last week, who knows? God has heard them, okay? What about on the mountaintop, you know? Life's milestones, for some who got married in the sanctuary, you might remember when you shared your vows right around here. For those who are baptized or baptized a child, you might remember their baptism. You might remember a graduation, you might remember a new job, you might remember a promotion, you might remember a new adventure, you might remember a new chapter. Who on the mountaintop knows that God hears us? What about, I think it's a 16th century mystic who described it as the dark nights of the soul. I imagine all of us has had those. Perhaps ourselves, a family member, have received a terminal diagnosis. I know of members here in our congregation and in other churches wherein parents have lost their children, whether it's as infants or as adults. I know I've had dark nights of the soul, the darkest of nights that would lead me to believe the best route for me is to, unfortunately, like many of my colleagues, choose to walk away from ministry. Who, during a dark night of the soul, knows for certain that God hears us today. Like many of you, I am still convinced that God still hears us today. And perhaps this is a reminder in a very mad world that we are part of something big, that we are part of something bigger than ourselves, that the creator of this universe would hear us, would hear our voice, would hear our tear, and that we belong to something bigger than ourselves, a people, a community, a kingdom, a peace, all this and maybe of something altogether more. Either way, we know that God still hears us today, and in knowing this, we can move from anger, and we can move from fear, and we can move from grief, and we can move from inaction, and we can pray with boldness, and we can live with conviction, all the while bolstering the courage to take a leap of faith at times into God-sized dreams and into God-sized miracles, knowing that we are still heard. Amen. Amen. Friends, this week we are going to be sending people into a neighborhood, onto a street in Saginaw, with 1 week, one street, June 22nd through June 27th, with members from our church and others who have joined us. We'll be sending 24 individuals to participate in 1 week, one street this week. Invite us as we gather now for prayer to be praying for those 24 individuals. We'll be kicking it off with a bang, as I'm told by Pat McElvenna, who's leading up the effort. We'll have 15 people on Monday doing home repairs in Saginaw. So let us pray for them this weekend during this time. As we also gather in prayer, we want to extend our sympathies to Alice Ralston and to her family with the passing of Alice's son, Kevin. Kevin passed away on June 2nd, and so I invite us to lift up Alice and her daughters in our prayer. We also want to remember in our prayers this day, this special day, all those who love like fathers, are fathers, alongside those who wish they could be fathers as we celebrate this Father's Day. So let us gather our heart and spirit, our minds in prayer this morning. Loving God, as we gather ourselves in worship this day, you've invited us to hear what it sounds like to be heard. To be reminded that our cries, whether they are of the joyous kind or whether they are of the grieving kind, that our cries are heard. And Lord, in worship, you remind us that you hear the cry of the needy. Whether it's a mother and child in the wilderness so long ago, or those who find themselves in the wilderness of life today, you hear these cries too. Lord, remind us in this time that we are heard and called to listen alongside you. And God, this week we are sending out those among us and other churches too, to be a blessing in the streets of Saginaw. Lord, to be literally your ears, your hands, your feet, to remind others that they are being heard. And indeed, if you are going on this mission trip this week, I invite you to stand among us as we pray. If you're serving on one week, one street this week, I invite you to stand and pray. If you're in our sanctuary, if you're in the live stream and you're going too, I invite you to stand. I invite us to reach our hands out to them, those who are standing among us. Bless them, O God. Use them to be a God-sized miracle in the lives of our neighbors. Use them to do more than, and in addition to home repairs, yes, to make homes safer and drier and to make communities more connected, but use them as your ears too. Help them to hear the stories of our neighbors, to remind them that they are being heard. Lord, hear our prayers. I invite you to be seated. And God, we do lift up Alice, their daughter, her daughters, and their family as they grieve Kevin's passing. Assure them, O Lord, that you hear their cries. Comfort them and give them peace. And certainly, O God, we lift up our dads, those who have heard our cries, those who have survived and even thrived through all the seasons of our lives, those who have walked alongside us with a Father's love. Thank you for hearing their cries. And thank you for hearing the cries of those who wish they could be fathers, but are not. Hear our cries. Lord, all this we pray in the name of the one who has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
I invite you to stand as we finish our service with our closing song today, As a Fire is Meant for Burning, which you can find in the Faith We Sing hymnal number 2237.
Show that Christ is love.
So I'm blessed to be in this season of life where my son loves talking to me. And if you know, you know. My son knows when I'm listening. And my son knows when I'm not. When I'm preoccupied or my mind is on the day before me or the day that has passed. And his soul lights up when I listen, right? We see that in our kids. We see that in our grandkids. We see that in children and youth, we walk alongside. I hope today is a reminder to all of us that we are being heard by our Heavenly Father. May it be so in our life today, and may we reflect that to others in the week to come. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.